As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
With the 30th pick, the Buffalo Bills select.
Backs up on first down, is pressure and slung down at the 5. The pass rush gets home. That's big Kenneth Grant.
Cook pumps, throws, Burton. In space, that's where you want him to get the football, and he takes it to Niles.
Klubnik lets it go deep, and it is intercepted by the All-American Malachi Starks.
Play action for Ewers on second and 10 to the end zone. Waiting for it and bringing it in is Matthew Golden.
Nussmeier given a lot of time, and that's up for grabs.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy draft day. 75 degrees today.
Did one of you watch draft day recently?
Josh.
I did.
He texted us about it.
Yikes.
He watched draft day, and there was a Frank Summers appearance?
Yep, at the very end in the credits, they were showing, you know, action shots of every NFL team. Wait. And Frank Summers was the Bills picture.
The Bills fullback?
Yeah.
Yep.
Frank Summers.
He was the picture of the guy they drafted, or he was
in it? Like, they were showing, like I think DeAndre Hopkins was on there, and, like, a couple other guys, like Aaron Rodgers throwing a touchdown pass.
And
like,
for the Bills, it was Frank Summers.
Was our Frank Summers phase. That was our fullback phase. Damon Shelton, Frank Summers.
Yeah. Corey McIntyre.
Yes.
Corey McIntyre had the best visor mouth guard combo in Bills history.
Sam Gash.
Sam Gash.
Give me a Sam Gash in there.
Yeah.
Our fullback days. Who else? There are more.
Did you say Jerome Felton already?
I did not, but him.
Jerome Felton.
Larry Centers. A little bit different there.
Yeah, that dude. I mean, 100 catches, right?
Yeah.
In a year. Pat DeMarco, of course.
Pat DeMarco. He was the end of the fullback days. Now we have Reggie Gilliam.
Yes, who does more than just be a fullback.
That's
although,
right.
To be fair, Pat DeMarco was also a vertical threat.
True.
He did that one time.
He pulled double coverage down the field in a playoff game. Don't forget. Maybe even triple coverage.
You know, the times, that one season where they just forcing the ball to DeMarco before forcing the ball to Diggs.
That's right.
Was a thing.
That's
forcing
right.
The ball to DeMarco.
You know what I say? Targets are earned, Joe.
Yep.
He earned that target.
Yes.
He earned that deep shot in the Houston playoff game.
Uh-huh.
Hey, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. I'm sorry, high of 77 today.
Woo.
Let's go. High of 77.
Nice.
Three of the four of us hit the golf course yesterday, right? Did you get out, Josh? No, okay.
No, unable to.
That's all right.
Yeah.
It's draft day. It's beautiful. You come hang out at Resurgence with us.
Yes.
If you're in the area. If you're not, you know, have a good time wherever you are. We're at Resurgence tonight. Excited about that. Going to get down there and see a draft pick. I have an announcement to make. I have decided I am in. What, 2 days ago you said you're on it, defensive end, right?
Yep.
Okay.
And I think I got a guy. It's James Pierce.
James Pierce. If he's there, it's James Pierce.
He's my guy.
Okay. Yeah. I have come to terms with maybe talk myself into something. And maybe we'll start there, 803-0550. It's draft day. What have you talked yourself into liking? Maybe you liked it before, maybe not, but I've talked myself into an idea that I've seen in the last 24 hours, and I think I'm into it.
Okay.
Because I did some soul searching, Joe. No, it's not a receiver. I'm, of course, always going to want a receiver everywhere, but that's okay. So a bunch of mocks lately, and I'm in the last 24 hours, Peter Schrager, Dane Brugler. I was listening to Joe Marino on this in the Locked On Bills podcast, and he pointed out a number of mocksters that are all of a sudden going Malachi Starks, safety.
Okay.
Which I've said to you, I think safety doesn't make sense. I don't think they would do it. Why would they do that? They have safeties. And Cole Bishop's here. And listening to Joe talk about Starks and the kind of player that he is, even though Joe was basically saying, like, I wouldn't do it, I realized that if they took Malachi Starks, it would line up with what I actually want, which, outside of running back, I want a player that has the potential to be a top 100 NFL player, or a top 50, or a top 20.
Right.
All I really want them to find is one of the best players in the league.
Yeah.
And if they were to go a position that I don't think that they need, defensive tackle starts tomorrow, right?
Sure.
Kenneth Grant starts tomorrow. He might be a great player. But if they took Starks over top of Taylor Rapp, Cole Bishop, what, it would say a lot to me. It would say, this is a player we think is a blue chipper that we think would change our defense. And it would also, for me, started getting into this right away, but I've been thinking about Starks for 24 hours.
Yeah.
Georgia safety, by the way. Yeah, Georgia safety, Malachi Starks. It would also say to me, Sean McDermott's defenses have been built from the back end, and this one's not going to be any different. It's even though we put a lot of stuff in the trenches, they pour their assets into the defensive end and defensive tackle. I mean, the hallmark of this defense was building the shell.
Yeah.
And the shell is now, by the way, Bishop, who's a draft pick. Tre'Davious White is back, and his money is not nothing. And Christian Benford, and I've got Taylor Rapp there who makes some nice plays.
Yep.
But
modest contract.
Modest contract. Things to like about him. I think Pro Football Focus rated him as like the 74th best safety. Things to like, but
bad in coverage, if I remember right, but he was also one of like the top tacklers, and maybe from safeties.
And Starks is a guy that is going to patrol back there and be, you know, he's going to be your playmaker over the top. He's going to give you that sentry back there. And I've talked
ball
to myself.
Hawk, have I seen ball hawks attached to him too?
Yes. Ball skills, ball hawk.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about the Micah Hyde role. And even though that Hyde and Poyer, the thing about them was how interchangeable they could be. But
I would think about him. When I heard Mina Kimes, I listened to Mina Kimes. She like ranked all the defensive prospects from the first round a couple days ago. And when I heard her talking about Starks, the play I was thinking about the most was Micah Hyde against Mac Jones in the playoffs.
Yeah,
that pick.
Is that Starks?
That's what it feels like.
Okay. The other thing he can do, slot corner when needed. Of all the pieces of this defense that we always forget about that's super important is Taron Johnson won't be around forever. So,
right. We're on the back nine with Taron Johnson.
We might be
on his career.
We might be in the final five holes with Taron Johnson. I mean, maybe I'm making him a little bit older.
He is only, how old do you think Taron Johnson is off the top of your head?
This is where you tell me he's like 26.
He's not 26. Okay. He's 28.
He's 28.
I'm going to guess like 30. I would have guessed 30 probably.
Okay.
But 28.
So he's not.
But sure, no, you're right, though. He's got a lot of wear and tear, right?
He does. He does.
Because he is, what's his job?
He plays like an animal. He plays physical.
And sometimes he has to play like a linebacker because he has to come in and play against tackles and fullbacks and tight ends. So he's taking a beating, but he's still playing well.
So Starks more than Emenwori, because Emenwori seems to be like the physical freak that people are waiting to see it all to come together, whereas Starks for me is, I've talked
right, ready made to be a stud.
Yeah, I've talked myself into it. I've got Peter Schrager. Peter Schrager gets a lot of credit as being one of the more connected guys in the league, right?
Sure.
If Peter Schrager says it means something. So I don't think it's smokescreen. Could they go safety in the first round? Yes. And then, you know, we'd have people that are a little upset. What about the defensive line? Well, maybe they go defensive tackle twice in the second round. But Starks has been, in the last 48 hours, mocked the Bills quite a bit. And for me, it really is about what's my roadmap to getting one of the best players in the league? and drafting a player over top of another, I don't want to be afraid of that. I don't want to step away from... This is not a good example, but if there was a stud receiver, I don't want to say, no thanks, I have Josh Palmer. That's mm-hmm. not the kind of guy yeah. that's keeping me from getting this potential stud. And that's a little bit of BPA talk, a little bit of forget your needs talk, but that's what I'm going for. So, I mean, maybe not my first choice of what they do, but when they do that, if they do that, that's where I'll land. Is okay, if you've got a guy that is part of your defense that
yeah.
is the playmaker, because that's what we want, right? We want playmakers on this defense, guys that make a big, big difference. And I think I would make peace with it very quickly.
Yeah. The other thing I've always thought about safety, which it's never been my favorite idea, but I've never been like totally against it, is I do think you can get to three safeties all playing on the field. That you can have packages and you can have certain, you know, you can just have certain usages to make that work. Where it was different to me than if you're going to draft, you know, some offensive lineman or some other position, linebacker. Linebacker really, to me, was the one where you draft the linebacker, this UCLA kid they were connected to a couple of days ago, and like I'm really struggling to figure out how you're going to make that work, like, at least for this year. How this year you're going to find a way to make that guy be impactful for you compared to what you already have. Whereas you draft Starks, this has always been the M and worry idea for me too. I think you would just be reversing who's the guy that kind of goes down low, or maybe as you're pointing out, Starks could play nickel, that I can find a way to use three safeties if they're all worthy of playing in the first place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rapp could struggle out of the gates, yep. and okay, I'll just put Starks and Bishop back there, or Bishop could struggle in training camp, and it's, I don't know if he's ready, so okay, what I'm going to do then is going to start Starks, and I'll start to focus more on Cole Bishop being down in the box and using specialty packages for him. Like, safety is a position where you have to do a little bit of work on it if you're McDermott and you're Babich, but I can find my way to getting three safeties on the field in different at different times.
Different packages.
Yeah.
A third down package, right? What if we think right, a lot yes. about the defensive line packages and how Michael Hoyt might change that, but right, if they had more flexibility on the back end, then that might mean a lot. So you into it? Open to it?
Open to it for sure. Definitely open to it. I mean, if I told you he's going to be like Micah Hyde 2.0.
And take it in a heartbeat.
Yeah. So it is a position that's not thought of as a premium position, though, right? Like, mm-hmm. why is he going at 30? If he's supposed to be a stud, it's because, well, the position's not really thought of as being one of the premier positions in the league. Although, the Bills might think it is.
Yep.
The and Bills might treat it as a premium position.
It is... Maybe it's not like some of these other positions. It seems to be the positions that aren't premium positions in the league are premium to good teams because they're not foundational mm-hmm. building blocks. You got to build other stuff first. But once you feel like you're pretty good,
can start attacking those other positions.
Baltimore with Kyle Hamilton's a story here. Like, oh, they didn't really need Kyle Hamilton. They took him, and now their defense is kind of built around a lot of things he does.
Sure.
In Kansas City, they had some rough safety play, and they went out, Justin Reed, like, became a pretty good player for them.
Yep.
So, yep. I think I'm into it. I think they're going to go defense. The point about corner, and Sal's been coming off of corner in the last week or so, that corner's going to have to beat out Tre'Davious White, who mm-hmm. might be able to play, certainly will know the Bills system. What happens if your corner you draft in the first round doesn't pick up the defense as quickly as you want to? Now that corner's behind Tre'Davious White, and that might be a hard veteran to pass because of how well he knows the system. And I don't want a corner on the bench. So
yeah,
you've got a lot of options here for the Bills. And staying at 30 seems likely. Brandon Bean said they don't have 30 draft grade first-round grades. Mm-hmm. Tony Pauline reports the Bills have 12 first-rounders.
Okay.
Now, I'd love to
12.
I'd love to get into that. I think you could remove the quarterbacks. You could probably remove the tight ends. I don't know, maybe not.
As guys they wouldn't even grade?
Brandon Bean said that they have a Bills-specific kind of board. So, I mean, Cam Ward, does he get a first-round grade from them? I think he is just like a...
You wouldn't think he's one of the 12.
Just like an NA. We don't need that.
Okay.
Don't need that. Don't need tackles. They might have first-round grades on tackles, but just don't need tackles.
Mm.
So, 12. It's a far cry from 30.
they would probably be thinking they're not getting one of them then.
Probably.
Although, maybe not. You know, this draft really could be, it could be all over the place with where guys go. They could think a guy that could go 11th or 12th is going to start falling to them around 26, 27. And you move up three spots and boom, you got a guy that you thought was going to go like 11th in the NFL draft. Because that is just the variance on a lot of these players. Pierce, earlier in the week, we talked about how he's been mocked in the top 10. Chris Trapasso is him number one, and he's been mocked in the second round. And that's a lot of these guys. Emin Wori, I saw fall out of the first round in a mock draft yesterday. That is the first time I've maybe seen that. But how much you want to take from those in the first place? I don't know. It feels like there's a wide-ranging opinions on a lot of these guys. Yep. So maybe they will get one of their 12 first-round grades.
They might. Another piece of evidence how the first round might be more unpredictable than other years, how many players are backing out of attending?
Right. It's only...
Are we down to 15 players will be there?
15.
It was 19, then 17. Now we're down to 15.
Right.
Because...
They just might not know.
Who knows? Are you going to go in the first round? And, you know, it doesn't have to be a bad thing if you stay there the first night and instead of watching with your family. But whatever. Only 15 players are going to this and think they're going to be first-round picks. Lots of rumor on movement, too. By the way, the Jaguars are apparently a wild card team on this. I saw last night some reports that the Jags might try to go up to number two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who for? Hunter?
Are
the Browns going to slide down and not take Travis Hunter? And the Browns have already tons of draft capital.
Yeah.
Are they going to try and add more?
Is that going to be them trading down for... Well, no, it's not far enough. I was going to say, is that their EJ trade? Their EJ Manuel trade? The Bills needed a quarterback, and there was no quarterback worth the pick in 2012? So what do? They move down eight spots, and they pick their quarterback there because that's more where he's worth the pick, and they picked up whatever along the way. But going from 2 to 5... I guess it's a little better.
It's great
it would justify if they love Jackson Dart, it would justify it, I think, a little bit more.
Yeah, but even then, like, you don't need the capital, but I guess you could take some more of it and then just try to fly around the board wherever you can. Jacksonville, interesting. Maybe Hunter, they've been tagged for Ashton Jeantee as well in the last 24, 48 hours.
Trading up to two and drafting Jeantee.
I mean,
they shouldn't be at any risk, though, of not getting him at five.
I don't think so.
Why, who would? New England?
Maybe New England trades. There's talk of people trading into the top five for the running back, which talked about this a little bit yesterday. What happened to everybody? I do think there is value in having a good running back, and there could be value in having Jeantee, but man, we are not really getting on any team drafting him like we did with Barkley. Barkley went 2. I guess the difference is that year, that's the Josh Allen draft class, that was a quarterback-rich draft. And the Giants sat there and took a running back instead of a future franchise quarterback, which is pretty dumb. So,
right.
That's what's different.
That was 3 years in a row, by the way, that three running backs had gone in the top five. Elliott went 4th overall, and then Fournette went 4th overall. By the way, McCaffrey then went 8th overall.
And then
Barkley went number 2. And since then, you've had a couple first-round picks, but the only other guy since then that's gone top 10 was Bijan. And did the Falcons get crushed for that?
Not crushed.
I mean, the Falcons back-to-back years picked non-premium positions super high. Kyle Pitts at 4 and Bijan at 8.
The Falcons got more crushed for taking Michael Penix Jr. because they had just signed Kirk Cousins. That's the thing they got really crushed for.
That's funny. They got crushed for taking the quarterback more than they got crushed for taking the tight end and the running back in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's probably right. I don't know. Jeantee is not somebody I've like studied a lot. I've just kind of assumed he's great because you see the highlights and you see the numbers and he's the runner-up to the Heisman and everyone's just like, oh yeah, this is a top five back. I don't know. Would I be worried though that he played against? Would that be one of those positions where I'd be worried about him playing against small school guys his entire career and stacking up totals?
I don't think so.
All right. It's more of the running back point for me, but
yep. And the things I'm reading on him, they love his makeup, like an elite makeup kind of player, person like that. So anyway, happy draft day. Bills draft 30th. If they don't move up or down, and we'll see it tonight. The rumors, the good stuff. How many other teams do we have to watch? There's something we aren't doing as much of as maybe years past.
Yeah.
what teams are we taking a look at? I hope this team doesn't get this player. Because the only one I really have on that is New England and Travis Hunter. I just hope New England does not get Hunter.
I agree with that.
You tell me they take the offensive lineman with the fourth pick, like, have a good time. That's fine. I'm sure it's good for you. I'm not going to worry about Will Campbell being the fourth pick to the Patriots.
Well, would you be worried about Gentry being the fourth pick?
Probably not. I probably wouldn't worry too much if they get a running back. But Hunter, I might. I mean, Hunter could, of course, give them the two-way star or an elite player at one side.
Yeah, right. If I could have one player not go somewhere, the easy number one would be Hunter to New England. After that, I don't know, is there somebody around where the Bills pick where you don't want to see them get? I mean, really, if you've got a guy or guys, like if you like Starks, for instance, and you want to see the Bills pick him at safety, and then they don't, and he goes to Kansas City the next pick. You're probably going to hate that.
Maybe.
This isn't kind of the same, you know what I mean? If I want the Bills to get this guy, then I think by the natural bridge would be, and I don't want the Chiefs to get the same person.
There's some.
I want the Chiefs to draft a guy that I didn't want for the
Bills.
That's
right, that's right. There's some positions, though, that I think are scarier than others. Like, if you tell them the Chiefs get a guard or a tackle, I'm not going to worry about
that
as much. Well,
shouldn't that be a counterpoint against your safety idea, then?
It should.
Is it scary to Kansas City?
Well, I don't know. Nothing scares them.
Right. And the only thing that you could even get to is, like, if the receiver that would be a monster.
Well, okay, the receiver that could be a monster. Speaking of that, today at 8:30, we've got Joey Van Zummeren on the Tigers in Missouri and Luther Burden.
Yeah.
He is not the guy that we had emailed back and forth who had said, I'm a Chiefs fan, and Burden to the Bills scares me. Right. I don't think Burden is the play at 30. You know, some of the scouting reports on him. There's some stuff out there. I saw him referred to as a speed bump in run blocking.
Yeah.
And that tells me the Bills might shy away from that. But whatever.
Yeah.
Should I be drafting for what scares my opponents? Sometimes. But I don't know, the Bills' offensive line individually would scare anybody, but put together as a unit, it does.
Yes. Yeah.
So building out
Spencer Brown has become someone that I believe does scare people on the other side.
That's right.
Just guessing.
Yeah. That's right. So building out this defense the way that we want to see this thing built out, like, you know, I think it'd be hard to make anybody mad. That said, yesterday, Shope and the Bulldog entertained the idea, like, what would your reaction be if they took a running back in the first round? That was those words were spoken on this radio station. And I'm going to get in ahead of the game. If they do that, I'll call for Bean to be fired.
Wow.
I'm saying it ahead of time.
Wow.
I don't think he's going to do it. But if they drafted a running back in the first round,
well, you would owe me $20.
I would owe you $20 because running back went before linebacker.
Yeah.
And he should lose his job. It's not a serious operation if this team goes running back in the first round. Not a serious operation.
What happened to the good teams investing in running backs?
They have one.
But they might not want to keep him.
Fine, get another one next year. High pick next year. You want to go for that? You know, I can mock the idea of a first rounder, but no, you have one. His brother did tweet that he wants $20 million a year now.
Oh, the price has gone up.
We'll get to that.
That's why you do it.
They should move on from their GM. If they take a running back with a first round, Trevion Henderson makes it to 20.
What if I told you Cook did, like, he really did, like, the Michael Scott negotiation where he came into the room. It's like, okay, the last time it was 15, the Bills were at 10, and, like, all right, let's see if we can talk again and meet in the middle. And they talked to James Cook again. He's like, yeah, I want $20 million. Not coming off it. Price is going up.
That's fine. He's not going to get
like,
20.
All right, we're not getting a contract done with this dude. Like, this isn't a serious negotiation. We're drafting a guy.
That's fine.
Look. Omarion Hampton, Travion Henderson. Look at these guys.
You can go ahead and draft a guy and trade Cook and do what you want, but you spend your first-round pick, the GM should be dismissed. Serious. I'm not kidding. Like, there's not a lot of appetite to
– Yeah.
And I don't think it's something we really have to consider. And it sounds really harsh. Like, you hear the guy on the radio saying Bean should be fired? Yeah, if he drafts a running back at 30, yes. Yes. That would be during the Josh Allen era. The Bills would have spent a first, a second, two thirds, a fourth, and a sixth on running backs.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
It's not okay. So anyway, we don't have to go there. It's a good day. We're gonna have a good time.
What if I told you he's going to be, in 2 years, he's going to be ranked 18th in the top 100 player list?
Don't care. Running backs are the only thing that don't count on the top 100 players list because they get like 10 guys on that list.
They do get a lot.
Running backs get wildly overrated on the NFL's top 100.
That's true.
803-0550, our phone number. Sal's last mock is going up at the website at 7 o'clock. Keep an eye out for that. We can take your phone calls. What are you talking yourself into? What should Bean get fired for? No, we don't have to go there. If it's running back, though, I'm saying it now, so then when I say it tomorrow, when they draft Omarion Hampton, you're not surprised. I will say it. That's it. Find somebody else to pull the cards. Or, I don't know, whoever made the call. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Maybe it's Brady. Whatever. I'd be out for everybody if they took a running back.
Fire everybody.
Sure.
Not just Bean.
Except for Josh.
Josh can stay.
Although then
what if Josh wanted the running back?
Right. Well, so far the things he wants. Speaking of that, Keon Coleman on a podcast had some awesome stuff to say. Maybe you saw this. Maybe you didn't went around the rounds. He's talking about his time with the Bills and things he learned when he got injured and how he felt about his season pre and post injury. Said some really good stuff that I found to be super encouraging. I think there's a lot of reason to have high hopes for Coleman. We'll see how it goes, but we'll play some of that along the way. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy draft day. It's going to be 77 today. It's good stuff. Good stuff today. We've got lots to get to. We'll catch you up on all the rumors, all the latest mocks. Sales mock at 7. A guest on Luther Burden from Missouri at 8:30. Just to get one receiver conversation in. You know, we got to get one in there. So you can give us a ring if you want here on WGR.
And it's ran like a pro-type university. They do a really good job of preparing us for the next level, and they treat you like a pro the first day you step in there. So just kind of when you're there, you have no choice but to learn how to be a pro. So just taking that and running with it, and just having the advice of guys that's already in the league, just, you know, coming back and giving tips and telling me to be myself. You know, handle it like a business and stay true to myself. I think those are the biggest things. And like I said, the University of Georgia did a great job of preparing us for the next level.
That's Malachi Starks, Georgia safety, on his time there at Georgia. As see his name a lot in mock drafts. It's ticked up a bit. If you're looking at the top names for the Bills over the last 3-4 months, Kenneth Grant. Who else? Trey Amos.
Landon Jackson,
defensive end.
Yeah.
And Malachi Starks. This week there's been a lot of it.
The one thing about Starks that he does not necessarily fit with what the Bills normally do, but it's not like they don't. It's not like they don't have players where they, you know, are a little bit lower on this. But his RAS score out of 10, Malachi Starks, is a 5.2. Again, though, it's not like the Bills often go for guys that are higher, but you can find guys where they're lower.
Safety is different, though. That's one spot where, thinking back to last year, the conversation about safety was we don't always need the physical guy. We need the guy that can process, the guy that can just play. So
that's right.
We'll see. And they have the one physical freak safety in Cole Bishop. He was like a 9.8. It's just interesting. I was in the break looking at Starks. Again, talking myself into Georgia safety Malachi Starks tonight. We'll get Sal's thoughts on this. Coverage rankings for the Bills safeties. Cam Lewis was the best of the bunch. The others who played more. The safeties for the Bills, coverage-wise. Cole Bishop ranked 87th in coverage. Taylor Rapp, 93rd. And DeMar Hamlin, 96th in coverage.
All terrible very numbers. Very bad.
Terrible numbers. And that's what Starks would be brought in to do, would be to be whatever. I just think it's possible. And I'm maybe it's a defense mechanism. I'm talking myself into it. But I think it could happen. 803-0550. What you want to see from the Bills tonight, give us a ring. It's your last chance to get in before things get started tonight with us. And, of course, we'll be here tomorrow to wrap things up.
Yeah. The other thing, that safety pick, because we've been talking about the Bills being more multidimensional and more chess pieces to do different things with. You know, I wonder if the value in a guy like Starks might be that – give me someone like you, the processing, right? Like you just said, someone back there that's going to process things at an elite level. Maybe that takes a little bit of time because he's a rookie and safety sometimes take a little bit in the system, but that eventually we're going to get to a point where this guy is reading the field at an expert level.
Yeah.
And that trust then we can have in someone back there can allow us to be more aggressive with things all around the field in other spots. I wonder last year if there was any, hey, we can't do this. We got to hold back on maybe something we could try over here, because if we do that, it's going to put more pressure on our safeties to cover that whole, all those safety valves on the back end. And we just don't know that we can do that with DeMar Hamlin and Taylor Rapp as our two safeties. If we had elite Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde, maybe. But that's what, like, with Michael Hoyt and with blitzing and with different coverages from the cornerbacks, maybe. Are you more comfortable doing that if you know you've got a stud safety back there? And not just a replacement level guy.
Let me read you some of Lance Zierlein's scouting report on Starks. Because as you lay out there, Joe, you know, coming in mentally, does he have the chops upstairs to, you know, process the game the way the Bills want him to, which it would seem that's something that they value, of course.
Yeah.
He's a five-star prospect out of high school, top 15 nationally.
Okay.
He was a finalist for the Freshman of the Year Award at Georgia and started 14 games for the national champions as a freshman.
Okay.
So that's right away, you're in, you're starting, you're good. First team Associated Press All-American, first team All-SEC, finalist for the Bronco Nagurski Award and Jim Thorpe Awards, second team AP last year, second team All-SEC, finalist for the Thorpe Award, started all 14 games. Like, three-year starter at Georgia, high-leverage games on his resume, versatile safety with the size and athleticism to eliminate contested catches, and the speed and ball skills to shine when the action travels deep. And one thing about the Bills' defense last year that I thought was notable that was different than years past, they got hit deep. Mm-hmm. They used to never get hit deep.
Yeah, it happened a few times.
And last year, it was so jarring when it happened. What? Somebody threw deep on them? It happened? Who got beat? What? They gave up another big play in the passing game. The explosive plays against last year, there were just lots of them. And they were leaky on the back end, which is something they weren't normally.
Yeah.
They gave up lots and lots in the passing game, and they survived by getting turnovers. So,
yeah. There are certain plays, too, where I'm thinking about, you know, reading the break about his ability, man coverage a little bit when he goes down into nickel coverage. And was it a touchdown? I got to find it. But there's a play that always sticks out to me from that AFC Championship game, which is the Bills wanting to play more man coverage, and they put DeMar Hamlin down in.
On Kelsey.
Karen Johnson was on one slot.
Oh,
and then Hamlin had to go down into the other one because they were in man. And what did Reed do? What did Reed and Mahomes do? They motioned Worthy around to get Worthy onto Hamlin, and it was like the easiest pitch and catch ever to the corner, because DeMar Hamlin is just not going to be able to cover a guy in the slot like that in man coverage. Like, he's not. And I'm not saying Starks is who you would, like, you know, come in and cover the fastest player on the other side of the field out of the nickel if they're spreading it out four receivers wide. But, man, it reads like he is somebody that could give you something there. And the Bills right now don't have a safety, I think, where, all right, we're in man here, and they've spread it out. You trust any of your safeties covering almost any receiver one-on-one?
Not really.
Rapp, that's not the type of player Rapp is.
No. Nope.
We know it's not Hamlin, and I don't think even in theory that's what Bishop is supposed to be, is he?
No, I like Rapp. He's made nice plays for them.
Yeah, me too.
But he's, yeah.
None of these guys, though, are like, I mean, the coverage grades go along with that, too. None of these guys, to me, are like, you can bump them down into a one-on-one, and they can hold their own. Hyde used to be able to do that a little bit. I mean, that's what he did in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
He was a nickel. I mean, they even tried it at the end with him. Like, I think he was, you know, he was maybe a little too past his prime for this. But what did they do against Jacksonville when it was clear Kyrie Elam couldn't cover Calvin Ridley?
Micah Hyde was there.
They put Micah Hyde on Calvin Ridley to try and cover him. Like, that's what he was as a player when he was at his best. So, yeah, that would have me thinking about – you got me thinking about Starks a little bit here. I'm still definitely James Pierce, an edge rusher for me, though. That's still my favorite idea. Oh, those safeties have an easier job if you're able to get to the quarterback twice as fast.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 to join us, Jeremy and Joe. ProFootballTalk.com has a couple, you know, rumors out there. The Ravens are not ruling out taking a running back early. I am –
The Ravens.
I am going
back.
Should
they fire their GM if they take one in the first round?
Yes.
Because
they have Derrick Henry. Yes. Of course they should.
How much longer is he going to go, though?
It's a good question. That would be a reason that you could I guess, take a running back if they want to. I think it'd be
although
kind of
that's kind of the same thing as Cook. Like, oh, we're not going to pay. Are the Bills and the Ravens both thinking about we have one-year relationships with our running backs?
They might. So draft one next year.
That's probably fair.
Maybe, maybe not. I don't want to talk about running back. It makes me upset. It gets me upset. George Pickens has unfollowed the Steelers account on Instagram.
Okay.
Plenty of speculation he's about to move.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, poor DK Metcalf. Poor Steelers.
What do you mean? He's going to get his number 14 now.
He is going to, well, whatever. If Pickens moves, the Steelers offseason would have amounted to trading for DK Metcalf. Oh, wow, look at these two receivers. Getting rid of Pickens. Oh, okay, well, at least Aaron Rodgers is here. Yeah. Is he? Are you sure about that? Anyway.
Metcalf for fantasy, if all this unravels this way, is going to be take a big hit. I mean, unless they find their way to a quarterback and actually get him the football. I mean, it's the quarterback rumors, right? The other one was the rumor that I saw is that Joe Shane's son posted a highlight reel of Jackson Dart and then within minutes made his account private. So is Jackson Dart to the Giants about to happen?
I think I'm going to get on board with Jackson Dart.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
What was the stat, though? 12% of his throws were dropback passes?
Yeah, which was 14%, I think. But that makes it hard to evaluate. Like, all right, we'll just turn him into that. I think I might like Jackson Dart. Yeah, I mean, why not? I'm a Jackson Dart guy.
Yeah, well, in that case, though, that wouldn't make a lot of sense for the Giants if you got to turn him into something. Because they got to – don't they need a quarterback that's, like, ready to go right now? Not teach how to play quarterback in the way that they're going to need him to? Unless they just want him to play quarterback the way he's been playing at Ole Miss, which could happen, right?
Yep,
like
yep.
Some quarterbacks in the NFL, I don't know what the number would be on like Brock Purdy and Tua that run some of these offenses where it's more screens and, you know, yak plays. I can't imagine anybody's touching 14% though, like Dart did.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. What's your idea today? The idea du jour. Joe and I also have our dream draft boards. I'm not even saying Starks is my dream pick. Just if that's the pick, this is how I get there to, okay, let me see how this might work. I think it might be a good idea, and there's a good case to make for it. So we'll see. We'll see tonight, 30th pick overall. They're picking late, of course, unless they move. Jeremy and Joe, give us a ring, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Not too late to make a plan to come join us at Resurgence tonight. We'll all be there for the draft party. What are we going to do?
Should I wear my cowboy hat?
Listen,
Yes, you should.
Here's the other idea I have. Betting on where players get picked is not allowed in New York State. We can't bet on over-under.
Correct.
So should we just bet amongst ourselves? Let's just do that.
We could.
Let's just do that.
We could. There's nothing against that, I don't think.
Okay.
You want to bet against like what players will go where?
Like Shador Sanders over under 21.5. You and I will just bet. Or Travis Hunter over under 2.5.
Yeah.
Or how many running backs in the first round or whatever.
Yeah. We could pick exact teams too. You could always make those bets. But
there are, I mean, based on the odds, there are favorites for team and position and player and position.
Yeah.
We're seeing lots of tight end stuff in the first round, lots of running back stuff in the first round. 803-0550, our number. 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Happy draft day. Jeremy and Joe. Josh Schmidt is here producing. Owen's running the feed.
Head on a swivel with draft odds today.
Okay.
If you see them.
Wait, I remember famously that Will Levis's odds moved big time to be the first overall pick. And
just going to mention that.
Okay.
On draft day, his odds were minus 2,000 to be the second overall pick.
Okay.
The morning of that draft, he was minus 2,000 to go second overall. He didn't go in the first round.
Yeah.
So, I don't know that feels like that will happen again.
Actually,
Travis Hunter is minus 1,600 to be the second overall pick.
Just to say what those odds mean, that means the books were really exposed on him and didn't want you to spend any money at the idea of him being the second overall pick.
They didn't want you to bet on Will Levis at all.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, tonight we've got our party.
Yes.
The wide receiver train, staring at my wide receiver big board over
here.
Are we
still going to be, booing every time a receiver gets picked?
No.
It might only happen one time before the Bills pick, honestly.
It might not be that many.
Yeah.
That's right. I saw, if we're talking receivers quickly, Todd McShay's final player rankings.
Yeah.
Tet McMillan, who could go as high as what? 5?
I guess Jacksonville, he could go 5.
He could go as high.
It feels like, though, if it's not Jacksonville, it's not going to be in the top 10.
It might be 11 or 12. Arizona's in the mix there.
Sure. Yeah.
Todd McShay put Tet McMillan 50th.
Woo!
Yeah. 50th.
I mean, he's not my favorite. Like,
there's things to like about him, but he's...
Yeah.
I don't know.
By the way, speaking of draft odds, he is minus 400 to be the first wide receiver drafted, not including Travis Hunter.
Okay, I was going to say, you can't include Travis
Hunter.
They're
not including Travis Hunter. McMillan, the first, the favorite to be the first receiver picked. That much. Isn't that one, if we could bet on that, where you'd... That'd be one where I'd be targeting. Like, let me throw Matthew Golden plus 225, Igbuka plus 1600, Burden plus 6600.
Okay.
Like, let me look at someone else to be the first receiver picked over McMillan. Like, he doesn't have to be the first receiver picked, does he?
No, doesn't have to be. There have been years. So, I mean, the year that CeeDee Lamb was supposed to be the consensus, or sorry, no, it was.
That might be another one.
It was
one,
Jerry Jeudy. It was supposed to be Jeudy number one, and instead Henry Ruggs went ahead of all of them.
No one thought Ruggs was going first.
Yeah, and then
like they thought he was a first-round prospect, but not that he was going to be the first one.
But then the Raiders showed up and did the thing the Raiders always do, which is draft the fast guy.
Right, because they did the same thing with, wasn't it stunning when Darius Heyward-Bey was the first receiver picked?
Yes. Yes.
2008.
You know what? The Raiders are always good for this. The Raiders also did Cleland Farrell fourth overall one year, the defensive end, and then...
Alex Leatherwood?
Something.
Yeah, Mike Shope always has the best line on them, which is the Raiders draft like they don't have the internet.
Yes. 803-0550.
At least they did. I don't know if Tom Brady's going to do it differently.
If you're watching us on the YouTube feed, you can see my shirt today. This is the wide receiver train golf polo.
Those are trains.
These are trains.
I did not even pick up on that.
These are trains.
Yes. Wow, let's go.
Here, there you go.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Bills colors, too?
Yep.
That's sharp.
Trains.
The wide receiver train polo. Let's go.
One year too late, but hey, whatever. The train never actually stops.
Well, the train is still on the tracks, as far as I'm concerned.
Sure.
We have not pulled it over and put it into the... We've had this discussion. What's it called?
Roundhouse.
Roundhouse, thank you.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Did you not watch Thomas the Train growing up? Come on.
I think because I was like a... No, I did, but it's been so long.
Yesterday we talked about like going down memory lane. If you ever remember the draft being exclusively all day on Saturday, are you too young for that? Not having the Thursday night routine, but Saturday all day. It was like watching the Masters. It was settle down, order food, don't move. It was great.
No, I'm too young for that. Luckily for me, draft day, I think, no, because it always would have been on at night. Because I remember going over to my buddy's house, my friend's house, when they drafted, right after they drafted CJ Spiller, and it was nighttime.
Were you hyped?
I don't remember if I was hyped as much. It was like, can you believe that they just drafted CJ Spiller?
Yeah. John Gruden called him the best player in the draft.
Yeah. The good thing, though, for me was that those were school nights for me, but the Bills always picked like before 9 o'clock.
True. That's true.
Because they picked in the top 12 every single year.
We'll get to Sal. He's got his first mock draft posting in mere moments. Or sorry, not first. His final mock draft. I want to run the Starks idea by him. We've flirted with safety, but I just feel like there's a little bit of a push that way. If it does go that way, would Starks make sense? You know, how would the Bills build it out from there? And I do want to say, no matter what they do in the first round outside of running back, you kind of have to wait until the two picks in the second round to really, you know, get upset. Let's say they go safety at 30, and then Ty Williams, defensive tackle from Ohio State, makes it to their second pick. Like, okay, there you go. There's your guy if you needed a guy on the line. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Lots of intrigue heading into tonight. You can come hang out with us at Resurgence. Buy tickets for Resurgence Brewing's draft party tonight, $45, all you can drink. And we got pizza there as well you can eat, and well drinks, and us hanging out. And a draft pick this time. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.